things situated here. And after hearing that song about our souls on fire, it made me think of something that most of us, probably all of us, love, and that's sitting around a fire, whether it's a campfire in your backyard. There's just something. Is this on? Okay. There's just something about watching the flames grow and die down and consume all the wood or the material there. And fires are a pretty neat thing. I mean, it takes a few things, but only a few, to get them going. One, it takes a little spark, little heat source. Two, it takes fuel, material to burn, wood, whatever. And it takes oxygen. And I remember my days on the fire department. We got to see some pretty neat fires. One of my favorite was back in our hometown. We had a retail fireworks store catch fire. It was beautiful. Phantom Fireworks had a beautiful fire. And the nice part about it was its explosion. So we didn't even have to get close. We just got to sit there and watch it go up. But it was beautiful. And watching fires, you can just get so mesmerized in them. But there's one thing that they all have in common. They all start very small, just a little ember. And when they're that size, sorry, Colleen, but it doesn't take much to put them out. But as they grow bigger and bigger and bigger, and if they have enough fuel and oxygen, they can create their own heat to be something so big that as humans, some of these we can't even put out. These forest fires, that they just have to consume all the fuel till they go out. So I want you to think about that today as we go through the message. We're going to be dealing in Acts chapter 3. But if you look at Acts chapter 3, and if you've read the scripture for today, when you read it, you're going to think, or when I read it, you're going to think, wow, what is he talking about there? Because it makes no sense when you just look at that little bit of scripture. So really today, we're looking at Acts chapter 2 through pretty much 4, but I don't really want to read the whole thing, so I won't bore you with that. But this is about the disciples. When they catch that fire, that passion from the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to read Acts chapter 3, verses 12 through 19 right now. And then we're going to back up and sort of explain it all and put it into context. When Peter saw it, and in a little bit we're going to see what that it is. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people. You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us? As though by our own power or piety, we had made him walk. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the God of our ancestors has glorified his servant, Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you. And you killed the author of life, who God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that the Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. Now, if you read that ahead of time, or as I read that, you probably picked up bits and pieces that Peter did something, that somebody was healed through this account. And so if we back up to the beginning of Acts chapter 3, chapter 2, partway through chapter 2, you'll see as you read it. And you don't have to do it now, but later on today, pull it out, read chapter 2 through 4. It's It's amazing. But Peter, man, he was on fire. He was on fire with the Holy Spirit. And he's bringing one amazing message. And these people are, the account says 3,000 people find Christ because of Peter's message that day. There's no more poor Peter. There's no more the Peter that denied Jesus, that wasn't willing to admit that he was a follower of Christ. There's no more Peter and the disciples locked in the room, hiding from the Jewish people. Something happened. Something happened big with the disciples. One, they saw the resurrected Jesus. Firsthand, they saw him. And that gave them some passion. But the second thing that started right at the first part of chapter 2 that really got the disciples going, that really lit that flame, that really put fuel on that fire, was when they received the Holy Spirit. And that's what kicked this all off. The disciples got the Holy Spirit descended upon them. And it says flaming tongues and all this stuff. And we're not going to spend a lot of time in that today. But they had this passion. They're no longer hiding in this room, locked room. Remember, we talked about that last week. They're out spreading the gospel. Peter preached that day, the very day the Spirit came. And 3,000 people gave their life to Christ that day. That's amazing. That's amazing. And as I read this, I thought, man, I would love to hear what Peter had to say. It had to be great. You know what he preached as you read? That Christ died for their sins, and all they have to do is repent. That was Peter's main message. That's still the gospel we share today. There is power in that. We just got to share it. We just got to have the passion and the desire and put away our little fears to share that message. And it goes on towards the end of chapter 2. And it says they continued for days and days, and thousands more were saved. This was a pretty neat thing. This was huge. This was actually the first revival of the New Testament. And you're thinking, the first revival of the New Testament, was there more? Well, if you read through the Old Testament, that's all the Israelites went through. They went up and down with their faith. They'd come to Christ, they'd come to God, and then they'd walk away. And they'd come to God, and they'd walk away. And a revival is simply defined as large numbers of people repenting from their sins and turning towards God. My favorite in the Old Testament, and I talked about it the very first Sunday we were here with the children, is King Josiah. King Josiah was the king of, and as he was leading the people, he thought they were following God. He had the heart, the desire to follow God, but they weren't sure what was going on because the temple had been destroyed, and he's working at rebuilding the temple, and then they find the book of the law. And as his people read it to him, they realize that they're on track, but they're missing. They're off from some of the things. And he's not going to have any of this, and he tears his robe, and he leads all his people in coming back to Christ. And it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. I wish King Josiah would be, you know, one that in our terms is more popular, like David and Moses. We don't hear a lot about him, but his heart was in the right place. In today's day and age, we see revival, well, years ago we did, and you're thinking, what? Billy Graham. And we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about him because we're not highlighting any people today, but we're highlighting the Christ or the work the Spirit can do through us if we're willing, if we're not going to snuff out the fire. Billy Graham has not been afraid to preach the gospel and to share that same message that Peter shared. He was not afraid to do that. Remember, this is the Peter that just a few weeks earlier denied Jesus. Because the Pentecost happened less than 2 months after Christ rose from the dead. So this is a very short time. Last week we talked about the disciples being locking themselves in a room hiding in fear of the Jewish people. In fear of the Jewish leaders, in fear of them killing them as well because of the message of Christ. And then this same man, Peter, is kicking off this huge revival. Acts chapter 2, verses 46 through 47. I like these two verses. Day by day, they spent much time in the temple. They broke bread together. They broke bread together there and at home. And they ate their food with glad and generous hearts. Glad and generous hearts. Praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number of those being saved. They weren't afraid to share the gospel. They weren't about to let anybody put water on them flames. The Holy Spirit was able to work free and not be snuffed out. And Peter, man, Peter was full of the Spirit, on fire for Christ. Chapter 3 starts with Peter and John. They went into the temple to continue. Wait, they went into the temple? 6 or 7 or whatever short weeks ago before this, they were hiding from the people that are in the temple. All of a sudden, they're not afraid anymore. They have the power of the Holy Spirit. They're not afraid of what the Pharisees and the leaders might do to them. And we're going to find out towards the end that, yes, the Pharisees were after them again, and the Sadducees. This is less than 2 months after they were hiding in fear. So I talked about this a few minutes ago. What changed? What changed in them? Did they do anything different? Did they put their pants on different that day? Did they take a bath that they hadn't taken in months? What changed about them? Did they tie their shoes different? No. They had the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that we have today. The same Holy Spirit. And as Peter enters this temple, him and John are walking into the temple. And mind you, they've saved thousands now. So there's crowds there. These people know Peter and John, they're coming back to talk some more. There's thousands of people, lots of people there wanting to hear what they have to say. So it's not like they're just sneaking in the back door and sitting in the back row. No, they're being noticed now. And they're walking by and there's a beggar sitting there in Solomon's colonnade, right at the entrance. And this guy, he just starts asking him, this crippled man, who it says was crippled from birth, just ask them to help them out, to help him out. Now, I'm guessing he was interested in maybe a little money, some gold or something, so he can go buy some food or pay people to take care of him. Maybe he just wanted a sandwich for the day. I don't really know. But he sure wasn't expecting what happened next. And it's all because of the Holy Spirit. What happened next was Peter just looks at him and he says, I don't have gold. I don't have anything to give you. I have nothing. And if you remember, Peter's telling the truth. He used to fish for a living. And now for the past 3 years, he's just been following Jesus around. So he's right. He has no money. But he looks at him and says, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Get up and walk. And now we're back to the scripture, the text I already read this morning. This man gets up, and the strength comes back in his legs, and he's able to walk. And as I read it, it almost sounds like it's more than just his legs are wobbly. They're perfect. He is completely healed. He could go run, jump around, do whatever because of the strength of the Holy Spirit. And Peter was able or was willing to let the Spirit work through him. And this man now is latched on to Peter and John and just following them around. And the people, the Jewish people, the Israelites there, are starting to notice that this man who has sat here his whole life and not moved, he has to have people. It said he had to have people come and bring him to the spot so he could beg for the day. So these Jewish people, they've seen him there every day, crippled and paralyzed, and now all of a sudden he's walking? What if that happened here or some place that you're used to going every day and you see this same person there who cannot go work and provide for themselves. And all of a sudden now, they're up and their body is physically perfect. You'd question that, wouldn't you? You would look at it, one, in maybe in amazement, or you would definitely want to know what happened to that person that they're now better. Today's day and age, we'd probably think, well, the doctors found some miracle cure or something. They didn't have any of that back then. So they're all questioning. And the people, it says, are realizing that Peter did something amazing here. And they're trying to figure out what went on. And Peter recognized this. He recognized it quickly. And it's to me, I love what Peter did next. Because the Spirit worked through Peter. But what Peter did next is something that we must remember to do. Anytime, you know, that's probably one of the reasons I'm competitive, is because when you're in a sporting event or when you're doing something and you do it well and people recognize it, we all like that feeling when they say, hey, nice job, pat you on the back, right? I mean, am I lying here? No. We all like that feeling. This is what was happening to Peter. People are saying, wow, good work, Peter. This is amazing. You must be something spectacular. But instead of Peter taking the credit for it, which is what we sometimes want to do when God works through us, Peter says, no, 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 no. You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Why are you so confused in all this? Why do you think it's me? It's not me. You think I had something to do with him walking? Not a chance. And he quickly corrects this, but he does it in such a way that the Jews would understand, number one, but he also does it in a way that is kind of going to slap the Jewish people in the face a little bit. It is. It's going to get them a little bit excited. Like, what is this guy talking about? It's going to ruffle some feathers. He says, wasn't me. But it was the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Have we ever heard that before? Have you guys ever read in the Old Testament where it constantly says, when he's talking of God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob? That has a ring to it. Because there was so many back then, there was so many different gods that different religions worshiped. That was the way to distinguish to the Jewish people that they were talking about. That they were talking about their God. They weren't talking about the moon god or the god of the stars or these fake little gods that people think existed. They were talking about the God of the Israelites. And then he goes on and he added Jesus to that. And that would have got them all in an uproar. Because as soon as he throws Jesus in there, Jesus, that's the man we just killed a few short weeks ago. Gonna stir up a little. It's like taking a stick and poking a hornet's nest. It's not fun. Those of you that have done that when you're little, don't do it. Don't throw rocks at the hornet's nest because it stirs things up unless you have the power of the Holy Spirit like Peter did and God is asking you to do something. And Peter gives credit where it belongs to God. And he goes on to point out that yes, this is the man you killed, the guy you tried to stop his powers, the Messiah, Jesus. You killed him, not me. You're the ones that killed him. But then as we ended that in verse 19, what's it say? It says, I know you guys, you've messed up, you were ignorant, you were crazy, you killed Jesus, but repent. And turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. He was giving them the gospel message and they didn't even realize it. They sinned. They killed the Messiah. They killed God's son, but God is still willing to forgive them. All they have to do is repent. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. God still used him. Abraham, fathered a woman, or fathered a child with a woman other than his wife. God forgave him and used him. Isaac lied about Rebekah being his wife to protect her instead of relying on God to protect him. God forgave him and used him. The Jews killed Jesus, and God is still willing to forgive and to use them. No matter what we've done, no matter what we've done, God is willing to forgive us, and he will use us if we let him. If we let him. That same Holy Spirit that's in Peter lives within us. But all too often, that fire, that passion you feel when you first give your life to Christ, and it's so consuming that you can't keep your mouth shut. You want to go tell everybody. But along the way, as you start opening up, people start pushing back a little bit and trying to snuff out that fire. And if we can keep that going, man, it would be so consuming. We got to let it out. It's contagious. When we receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is living within us, and we're letting him work, and we're not suppressing it, oh, some amazing things can happen. And we need to do that. We need to work at that. And then I'm going to go back to the story because I don't want to stop there. What happens next is exactly what the disciples knew would happen. The Jewish leaders noticed that there's this big buzz going on. That Peter and John, something happened, and now this name of Jesus is being thrown out there again. And so what do? Chapter 4, they arrest Peter and John. They arrest them because they want to put out that passion. They want to put water on that fire and try to stop it. But just like these huge wildfires out west that happen every summer, they couldn't stop it. They couldn't put it out. They didn't have what it takes to stop the power of the Holy Spirit. They couldn't stop that passion, that desire. Let's make sure as we go through our lives that we don't aid in putting out the passion that the Holy Spirit ignites in someone. Let's pray. Lord God, Father, I just pray that you can put fuel on each of the fires in our heart. And that the passion within us, the Holy Spirit living within us, can grow. And that we can share the same message that Peter shared years ago, but share it with boldness. And share it with nothing inhibiting it. Lord, I pray for just a fresh passion to sweep through our hearts. And Father, as we come around and we witness other people getting this passion and this desire, I pray that we can put fuel on that fire and that we in no way, shape, or form slow it down. Lord, your Spirit, you can do amazing things. Things that we can't begin to grasp or imagine. And we pray, Lord, you will continue that. God, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.